Hello, Marion Pallister, Vice Chair of Justice and Peace Scotland here. It's been a strange year in which time seemed to stop in early March and the seasons have merged into one. Now we're moving into September, which is traditionally autumnal, but who knows what the climate emergency will offer. We also move into the 2020 season of creation, a liturgical season held annually between September the 1st and October the 4th, and the theme for this year is Jubilee for the Earth. In the Catholic Church, a Jubilee year is one of universal pardon. It dates back to Leviticus, in which we're told that every 50th year, slaves and prisoners would be freed, debts forgiven, and God would be merciful. Some of us remember Jubilee 2000, when we campaigned for the debts of the developing world to be cancelled. So I wondered how the word was to be applied to the season of creation. According to Dr. Luke Andrianos, the World Council of Churches consultant on the Care for Creation, Sustainability and Climate Justice, this theme of Jubilee was chosen to give rest to all creation. And goodness me, doesn't all creation need a rest? For almost 2,000 years, we have been exploiting the earth and all that's in it, and the result has been the climate emergency that is now turning every part of the world upside down and inside out. Record high temperatures in the Arctic Circle, the Mont Blanc Glacier breaking away from the mountain, forest blazes, droughts, floods, the list is terrifyingly long and the weather patterns unpredictable. Even the most stubborn flat earthers have been coming round to the fact that time is running out. And yet, God is merciful. God likes a jubilee. And perhaps we have been shown a way to not only give creation a rest, but to get it back to health more quickly than was thought possible. Dr. Andrianos says, accidentally or by providence, the COVID-19 crisis showed us that giving rest to Earth from human exploitation can save life and the overall creation. This could give us an eco-theological lesson to tackle the climate crisis. These things are, of course, planned way in advance, and while it was obvious during the planning stages of the 2020 season of creation that a jubilee was urgently necessary, there was no way anyone could have known that COVID-19 would show us what such a jubilee for the earth could actually achieve. When much of the world, particularly the industrial global north, had to close down its factories, shut up its offices, park its cars in its collective driveway, and hold its meetings by Zoom and Teams rather than loading up planes with delegates and flying them halfway round the world, the earth started to breathe more normally. Air pollution dramatically reduced during lockdown, and wildlife moved back into spaces from which it had been excluded. The joy of hearing birdsong in cities has been cited over and over again over these past few months. And of course, we know that the economy has been damaged, but in building it back up again, let's extend the jubilee offered the earth next month and instead look at ways that we can create a real new normal. There's no shortage of ideas. Electric buses, more buses so that we can leave our cars, electric or otherwise, at home. We're pretty good on renewable energy in Scotland. We have to persuade the rest of the world to follow suit. The steering committee of the season of creation is seeking what it calls the moral imagination that accompanies the jubilee. What we can't do is think of the season of creation as some glorified month-long happy-clappy harvest festival. We have to persuade governments to join us in considering the relationship between giving the earth a well-deserved rest and being imaginative in our ecological, economic, social and political ways of living. For Christians around the world, it's a time to renew our relationship with our Creator and all creation, a time to recommit to caring for our common home. It's an opportunity not just to care for our common home, but for our sisters and brothers who share it. Justice and Peace Scotland has the environment firmly on its agenda, and you can find resources on our website that can inspire and inform. The Scottish bishops are joining with bishops in England and Wales to reduce the carbon footprint of the Catholic Church, and that in itself will offer not just a month of Jubilee, but a future in which the climate can recover itself. As Eco Congregation Scotland tells us, it isn't just about making our church buildings greener, but about every parishioner taking responsibility for reducing their individual carbon footprint. You might want to do one of those online tests that show what your own carbon footprint actually is. I did one, feeling very smug that I was getting it right, only to discover that a couple of dirty secrets push mine, if not into the red, then, as my report card always said about my maths, must try harder. I've been asked to speak at a SCIAF Eco Congregation webinar on September the 8th about the work we're doing in my own parish of St Margaret's in Lough Gilphead in the Diocese of Argyll and the Isles. One of the main climate-related projects that we have, and I know from joining other eco-congregation webinars that variations on this theme are becoming more common, is to make a corner of our church garden into an area that will attract bees and birds, where we'll encourage children to care for their common home by producing fruit and vegetables, who doesn't like strawberries, and generally to capture carbon in the shrubs and plants we nurture. In a different part of the parish grounds, we're developing a peace garden. Pax Christi Scotland donated a Japanese tree to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Parishioner Cecilia Rees, our imaginative garden advisor, suggested we plant the tree beside a flowering cherry and that we plant other Japanese-related shrubs around it. As the ideas flow, the carbon is captured. And of course, we'd already planted a juniper to mark the 40th anniversary of Justice and Peace Scotland, so St Margaret's really is trying to give the earth a jubilee. Of course, not every parish has the possibility of planting trees and shrubs, but every parishioner has an opportunity to manage how they live, what care they take of our common home. When a cross-faith committee got together to discuss this year's season of creation, Reverend Dr. Chad Rimmer, Programme Executive for the Lutheran World Federation, said, "These days our living pushes the planet beyond its limits. Our demands for growth and our never-ending cycle for production and consumption are exhausting the world. We've not allowed the land to earn her Sabbath, and the earth is struggling to be renewed." Never-ending cycle of production and consumption. Well, do we really need all that stuff? I think many of us realised during the most stringent period of the lockdown that no, we didn't. But we do have a bit of work on our hands to convince some that the sofa doesn't need renewing, but the earth does, that a new top every week has far-reaching effects on our common home and on our brothers and sisters in the poorly paid garment industry. A member of the Season of Creation's advisory team asked that we all push our governments and businesses for a green economic recovery that is socially fair and environmentally sustainable. We perhaps have to act with our feet on that one, curbing our own shopping habits, our own very unchristian urge to keep up with the Joneses. There are 7 billion of us sharing this common home. On average, we generate 1.2 kilos of waste every day. That adds up to 1.3 billion tons every year. By 2025, this is likely to rise to about 2.2 billion tons per year. As much as 59% of the waste we produce in both higher and lower income countries ends up in landfill, and what goes into landfill plays havoc with the climate. You probably don't want to know this, but here's the lowdown on landfill. Your local dump is lined with clay and covered with plastic. Drains are installed to collect the liquid that leaches from the waste, our waste, which is layered between coverings of soil each day. When the dump is full, it's covered with more clay and plastic. This waste, our waste, doesn't break down. It's just stored, releasing the methane gas that contributes greatly to climate change. Lots of landfills contain organic waste, our waste, like food and paper, so the potential for methane emissions is very high. It's estimated that landfills are the third highest contributor of methane emissions in the UK, with nearly a fifth of all methane emissions coming from these waste disposal sites. Methane gas collection technology apparently has a long way to go before it's very effective. Meanwhile, as the American politician and environmentalist Al Gore says, today we're dumping 70 million tons of global warming pollution into the environment, and tomorrow we will dump more, and there is no effective worldwide response. So if we are to give the earth a jubilee, if we are to care for our common home and be its effective stewards as God asked we should be, then we have to reduce what goes into landfill, and so much messes up the climate. This year, the far-reaching effects of the global COVID-19 pandemic have thrown into grim relief the need for just and sustainable systems. The virus has also shown that it's possible for us all to work together for the common good. We can't let that experience go to waste, if you'll pardon the pun. Let's start by putting our individual and collective thinking caps on to come up with a better, more sustainable way of living. A way that will be kind to the planet, kind to our sisters and brothers in the global south, which contributes less to the carbon footprint but suffers most from climate change. And a way that is more in keeping with Catholic social teaching, which, in keeping with the paragraph 470 of the Vatican's Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church, says, respect for human life means respecting all of God's creation. Catholic social teaching adds, we must re-engage with our environment and take responsibility for it, live sustainably, live so that there are enough resources for everyone. The relationship between human activity and global warming must be constantly monitored, for the climate is a good that must be protected. Pope Francis has said, creation is not a property which we can rule over at will, or even less, is the property of only a few. Creation is a gift. It is a wonderful gift that God has given us, so that we care for it and we use it for the benefit of all, always with great respect and gratitude. And in the month ahead, let's give it that well-deserved jubilee, respite from all that we throw at it. Thank you for listening.